for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Thanksgiving Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, November the 29th, 2013. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of this service teaching on Can I Be Delivered?
Some of us that have been here forever grew up under Glenn and Irma Miller, who were the founders and pastors here, and they've both gone on to be with the Lord. Irma used to say, we can't let our flesh rule us. But oftentimes I think we give in to what our bodies want, like the brother was teaching last night, and we don't, I think we miss out sometimes on the victory, and we miss out sometimes on what it is to be an overcomer. Because overcomers are only overcomers because they've overcome something. Kevin has Brother Pinson's CD ready back there on the table for anyone that would like to pick that up. It will also be available on DVD and MP3, but those won't be available till after the camp meeting, and we'll have to mail those to you. So we're grateful for electronic devices that allow us to take these. You know, we're this camp meeting, we are establishing a history. We're establishing a library. We're establishing a resource for generations to come. These messages that are coming forth this weekend are not just for us. They're for eternity. The anointing is eternal. There's no expiration date on the anointing. And I didn't say all that to say this, but I it kind of flows right into it that we've got, you know, when Glenn and Irma first started in the audio ministry, it was with an organization called the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association. And Glenn was commissioned by their leader, Demas Shikarian, to record a service. And that simple act of obedience led to them being the ones who traveled to all the Full Gospel conventions, all the regional, all the world, national conventions. And Glenn was the primary to record these services, and then they would make them available to the people, and thus the audio ministry got established. And I was telling Brother Pinson last night, when they first got started, they were recording on reels, the old reels, and they were actually sending reels out, reel tapes. And Kevin helped with that. And then it went to cassette, and then here, long after CDs came out, we were still making cassettes for a long, long time because, you know, that was new technology for CDs. And finally, Glenn asked Kevin to find out what we needed. And so now we have the CDs. And then Don and Ada's son, Ralph, launched us into the DVDs. And then Kevin picked up on the MP3s. So it's a wonderful resource. It's a wonderful library. Kevin has taken and recorded them into the computer and then made CDs and MP3s out of. So, you know, this all didn't happen overnight. Believe it or not, you're sitting here today as a result of years and years and years of sacrifice, years and years and years of labor, years and years and years of people that God has put it on their hearts to supply the needs here, to come here and to help. And we don't want to ever take it for granted. Brother Nikki Pinson, what a blessing it was last night. And I don't think anybody ran away. They're all back for more. Come on up, okay? It's a blessing to have you.
Praise God. Well, I know what it's like to have people get up while you're preaching and go out the back door slamming it as it went. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you this morning. We ask you to speak to our hearts, Lord, again. Only what you want said, Lord. Only what you want said. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. I want to talk to you about the subject of can I be delivered? Can I be delivered? To be delivered means to be set free or liberated, to be released or saved from, to be handed over, transferred, emancipated, redeemed, or rescued. For instance, the children of Israel were delivered from Egyptian bondage. Think how terrible that bondage was. But in this message, I want to answer three questions. Is God able to deliver me? Is it God's will to deliver me? And three, why is it necessary to be delivered? Now, is God able to deliver me? Now, first I want to say, God. Is God able to deliver me? We're not talking about a man or a woman. We're not talking about a program or a formula or a system. But is God able to deliver me? We have to get our eyes on God. You cannot look at the person that comes to you or the person that is ministering to you. In Luke 4:16, so Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Oh, praise God. "Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Jesus. And he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." It's good to know what God has made us, isn't it? It's good to know what God will do through us. And Jesus knew. Now he came to deliver the captives, to set them free. And he will not and he cannot fail to do this. Now faith is required in those that desire to be delivered from their captivity. Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And I want to put the emphasis on that seek him. So many people want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and frustrated because it's not happening. And the problem is they're seeking the baptism instead of seeking him. And if you need deliverance, if you'll stop focusing on the deliverance and begin to focus on him. You know how you get rid of darkness? You turn on the light. Turn on the light, praise God. And he is the light. Now we must be specific in what we're believing God for. Matthew 9:27, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." Now, I want to say it's all about his mercy. Yes. That anything is granted to us, it is the mercy of God, because we don't deserve any of it. Verse 28, and when Jesus had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you believe I'm able to do this?" And they said, "Yes, Lord." And he touched their eyes. Oh, I love that. He touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be to you," or "so be it to you." And their eyes were what? Open. Praise God. Open. It's good to believe that God can do anything, that nothing's impossible to God. But do we believe that he can deliver us from a specific captivity? Do you believe he's able? Praise God. I remember one time I was assistant pastor in a town church, and there was a lady that found she had breast cancer. And we gathered around to pray for her. But I want you to know she was so in fear. If I can explain this. She was there, but she wasn't there. We prayed for her. You might as well be praying for this for this desk here. She could not. She was. It was like she wasn't even responsive. Praise God. She died from breast cancer. But we couldn't. You have to be open. You have to believe. You have to understand. You have to know that He can. She was so full of fear that she was going to die, and she did die. It's a wonderful, sweet lady. Now, do we believe that He can deliver us from a specific sin or a sickness or a tribulation? Now, is it God's will to deliver me? Do we believe He's able? Then do we believe it's His will to deliver us? Now, I want to tell you what God wills to be done will be done. It will be done. In 1 John chapter 5, He says, if He hears us, we know we have what we ask for. Luke 5:12, when Jesus was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw, leprosy was a death sentence, slow death. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and besought Him. Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. If You will, You can make me clean. Do you have that kind of confidence in Him this morning? And Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him and saying, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Now let me back up. And Jesus touched him. Praise God. Never once did Jesus ever tell anyone that He was not willing. Never once. You cannot find that. Or that He could not set them free from their captivity. Now I have to read something here in a few minutes, but Luke 6:17, and Jesus came down with him and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people came out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which was come to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. I'll tell you, if you don't want to hear Him, then He has nothing for you. If you don't want to hear Him, He has nothing for you. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, it's one thing that the devil just picking on you and harassing. It's another thing when you're like Lot and you vex your own soul, your righteous soul, with the filthy lifestyle that surrounds you. And Lot had a choice, but he made the wrong choice. And they were healed, praise God. And the whole multitude sought to touch Jesus. For there went virtue out of him and healed them all. I believe that with all my heart. Years ago, I didn't like to go to the hospital. I didn't like the smell of a hospital for one thing, but I didn't like to go. If I went, I rare that I would ever pray for them. And I'm just going to be honest with you as to why I prayed for them. Wasn't anything happening. Don't mind praying for them. And it was nothing there. But then God began to move in my life. I remember one time a couple there in the community, and one of them was sick, and they asked me to come pray for them, and I went to their home. And I'm saying God began to do something and began to show me this, and I'm sitting there in their house, and I can't hardly wait to get the talk over with so I can pray for them. And I put my hand on them, and the power of God, listen, the virtue means power. Power went out of Jesus into them and healed them. That's why Peter could say, such as I have, I give unto you. Enough of the words. Enough of the programs. The music and all these things. And don't misunderstand me about any of that. Enough of that. Where is the touch that has power to it? Where is the transfer of a person that has the anointing? Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me. And if you're going to get someone to pray for, you get someone that's anointed, that as such as I have, I give unto you. And they took that lame man by the hand, lifting him up, and he leaped and ran. Praise God. You can't go to a class somewhere and learn that. You can't read it out of a book and get it. It comes by the Spirit of God. Praise God. You know this is by invitation only. It's a closed society, so to speak. It's only for those that have the anointing. And the thing is, that's not fair. Oh, yes, it is. Because it's available to us if we'll pay the price. But I began to see when I laid hands on them, and this is hard for me to say, but I knew that power was going out of me into them. And, you know, I wanted to test that. I said, wow, is this really happening? You know, I'm feeling it. I want their feeling it. And I said, God, just let a few people tell me. I don't want too many people tell me. I'll get this attitude, you know, complex or something, big head or whatever. And I remember this, this is fairly recent. A couple of years ago, there's this tall young black man came, and he came down for prayer, and I laid hands on, prayed for him. And I knew he had a funny look on his face. Well, he wouldn't tell me. But later on, he told his family, said, when he put his hands on me, my hair stood up on the back of my neck. And you know what you think? I would think, well, man, he'll be back for more of that. You know, God touched him. He never came back. He didn't like the touch of God. I said, he didn't like the touch of God. I'll tell you, when God begins to move, things are being exposed. And they don't like it. They got mad because Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. They're going to kill Jesus and Lazarus. I mean, kill the one that didn't. Kill the evidence, praise God. Remember that. It's not just preaching truth, but it's the Holy Spirit doing His work, and it exposes things in people's hearts, and they run the other way. Now, they'll have some kind of excuse. They'll say something. It's all right, praise God. You know, we just can't be moved by those things. We have to know who we are, what we are, and what God sent us to do, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, now, they were vexed, and he touched them. The virtue went out of him and healed them all. But there's one exception. I said that, you know, what God wants to do, he can do. But one time Jesus did not set all the captives free. You know where I'm going with this. There was a reason that he didn't. In fact, he couldn't. Even though he was willing to set them free. And I'm going to tell you, God may be willing to set you free. But you won't let him set you free. One thing is, you're putting conditions on him. You're telling him how he can do it and how he can't do it. And Lord, you can go this far. I just want enough relief so I won't be embarrassed and I won't be harassed and this and that. But look, it's a complete package. You're going to come for deliverance. You come for the whole thing. You have to come and allow him to have access to your total being. Because a partial won't work, folks. If you leave part of your being, I just use that word being. If you leave, say, okay, Lord, this is really bothering me, and I'm afraid I'm going to end up in jail, or I'm going to lose my family, or I'm going to lose my job or something if you don't help me with this. Okay, that's good. But it's all or nothing, folks, in the end. And say God does give you deliverance in that one area, because that you confine him to that area of your life. You won't come clean with him. In time, the parts that you would not let him have are going to come back and bite you. It's all or nothing. He must have all of us, praise God. And so maybe someone there is understanding why you're not really getting deliverance. Look, God's not stupid and he's not a fool. He knows your heart. He knows if you're playing games with him. Amen? He knows. Mark 6:1, then Jesus went from there and came to his own country. His disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many, here's that word again, hearing him, were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him? Well, that wisdom, if you read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it's the hidden wisdom of God, that only the Holy Spirit gives. That such mighty works are performed by his what? His hands. Is this not the carpenter? Well, I'm going to back up. His hands, not a drama, not a clown act, not a music presentation. And music can bring you into the presence of God, but you understand what I'm saying. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Jesus said, blessed are those that are not offended in me. But Jesus said to them, a prophet's not without honor except in his own country and among his own relatives and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled, Jesus marveled, because of their unbelief. Now will we be one of those that Jesus cannot set free? There are those that Jesus cannot set free. You say, wait a minute, I thought Jesus could do anything. No, folks, he limits himself. For instance,
He limits himself and he forgets our sins that are in the past if they're under the blood of Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? He limits himself wherever he wants to. Unbelief limits him. Are we one of those people? Perhaps you think you are. Maybe that you feel like that's your problem. There are many that have hindered Jesus and limited him from setting them free. Psalm 78:41, yes, they turned back and tempted God. This is the children of Israel, the first opportunity they had to go in and claim the promised land. And they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited not his, they remembered not his hand. I need to say something. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Now look, I pray for enough people. I know when they're limiting God. I know when they're resisting. And usually the resisting is in their body. I'm not going to act like that. I'm not going to do that. I know. And it's, what is that? What is that? That's pride. It's self-assertion. It's being in control. You want to be in control. Well, Jesus, go on and be in control. Or you can make a decision to let Him be in control. You want something from Him, we do it His way, not our way. Praise God. You know, He's not the genie in the lamp. You rub it, He comes out and says, what do you want? Your wish is my command. That's not what He is. It's His way, praise God. Thank God it is. What a mess it'd be if it wasn't His way. Verse 42, they remembered not His hand on the day that when He delivered them from the enemy. They remembered not His hand. Isn't it amazing how yesterday perhaps God did a wonderful thing for you. Today here comes some trouble and we're ready to quit. Scared to death. You know, we remember not His hand. They made Jesus out to be just like them. Now listen, this is important. We know who you are. You're the carpenter. Your family's here with us. We don't like this. You rising up above us. They wanted to put Him on their level, the same as them. And they were offended because He was willing to be, to say, and to do everything that God showed Him to be, to say, and to do. Oh, it takes boldness, folks, to step. You know, the early church got together and prayed for boldness, didn't they? And the house shook, praise God. That's a whole thing here. But I believe the house shook because they shook. That's what I believe. In their minds, they took away Jesus' power to bring deliverance and set the captives free from their bondages. Now, we can do the same thing they did if we look at the outward appearance or the circumstances of the person that God sends to us to set us free. I might have told you last night, but I don't know, but I'm going to tell it again. I went to that revival with a pastor, and he wouldn't let anybody but the evangelist and the pastor pray for him. Okay, that's fine. I went down there, two ladies prayed for me, and I got gloriously blessed. Praise God. Quit looking at who's praying for you. Hallelujah. It's not about that. And let me tell you this, if you're praying for someone, quit looking at their outward appearance. Maybe they're not the type of person you like. Every one of us in here likes certain kind of people. You know what I'm talking about. We've got our likes and dislikes. You can't effectively minister if you're going to be that way. You have to let go of that. God has to give us compassion for people. I would not be standing here if I didn't love you. I'm telling you, God's given me a love for you. Praise God. And I thank God because it'd be really hard to do anything, you know, to minister to people if you didn't care about them, if you didn't love them. I was at a meeting with some pastors, and one of them said, you know, I'd like pastoring if it wasn't for the people. What? And you know what? I heard him talk a little bit, and I said, well, I'll tell you one thing. I love my people. I love the people of my church, and I'm so thrilled to be their pastor and to pray for them and minister to them. One time I went with a friend to visit a pastor in Dallas, and the ladies were having their meeting, and they were getting with it. You know what I'm saying? They raised the dead back there. They're hollering and shouting and carrying on, and he just laughed and said, oh, I just let them do their thing back there. I thought, brother, you'd be better off if you was in there with them. Praise God. Hallelujah. In this account in Matthew, we read that, and Jesus did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. There are two things that are necessary to bring deliverance to the captives and to set them free from their bondages. Those two things are repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. Now, there's no deliverance without repentance. You hear me? No deliverance without repentance. Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And you might say, well, the whole reason I'm coming is to get deliverance from this sin. But have you repented of that sin? Have you repented? Do you hate that sin? I don't have time to get into the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow, but I think you understand. And worldly sorrow is sorry I got caught. And godly sorrow is sorry that I did it to you, Jesus. What did David say? Against thee and thee only have I sinned. And we have to understand, you know what keeps me right? As much as I'm kept right, you know what it is? I don't want to offend him. Because the next time I go to prayer, I want him to meet me there. I don't like the way it feels when I do something wrong or when I disobey. I do not like the way I feel. What's happening? I'm grieving the Holy Spirit, and I don't like the way that feels. Praise God. Perhaps we thought we could just run to a deliverance session when things got too tight for us. But there is a line that we could cross, folks, by giving place to the devil, that even deliverance is impossible to us. Please don't turn me off right there. Listen to what I'm saying. Luke 12:47, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself. I believe if you want deliverance, you need to do some preparing. Neither did according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. And he that did not, and he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For to whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much of them, they shall ask the more. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth and unrighteousness, the truth that sets us free. Holding the truth and unrighteousness. You know what's right, but you won't do it. That's holding the truth in unrighteousness. You know, that's in Romans 1, where it talks about the give-ups of God and when God gives them over to. Have you read that? I mean, he'll let you have what you want. He'll give you over to it, and it'll be a sad day when he does. Is there someone right here, right now, that you're messing with something? You're fooling around with something? I believe God is having me say this. And you're close to being given over to that thing. And God's going to give you up to it, and you cannot control it any longer. It's going to control you. You're going to be exposed. Hear me, you're going to be exposed. And it's going to hurt. You know, there's a lady one time in my church, and she was a widow lady, and I found out she was going to get married. I thought, well, why didn't she tell the pastor? You know, other people tell me, why? Listen, when they don't tell the pastor, there's something going on. Well, come to find out, the man's a drunk. But she prayed that God would send a man to her, because she's tired of dating, you know, and looking around. She's been a widow 7 years. She's still young. And she said, God, I want you to send to my door a tall, handsome man. I'm tired of going looking. Well, a tall, handsome man showed up, but he was a drunk. In fact, he was drunk when he showed up. But she's going to marry him. And her sister and her children were all upset. So I talked to her on the phone because I couldn't locate her, and she's going to get married. And I said, don't marry this man. God says don't marry him. I'll tell people what God tells me to. I try to. I said, God says don't marry him. She said, well, Brother Pinson, they've given me a wedding shower here where I work, and I would be embarrassed to give the gifts back. I said, you'll be more embarrassed if you don't. And I said, I'll tell you, she lived there in Peerless, the community where we are. You won't find that on most maps. And I said, if you do, you'll come back to Peerless a broken woman. And she did. He abused her. She came back a broken woman. Holding the truth in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. Have you ever wondered why are they doing that? And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. That's the truth that makes us free. But had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is not a game we're playing that we can just turn the game console off or fold up the game board and go on our merry way. You know, we reap what we sow. Only the mercy of God can stop that reaping. Only the mercy of God. I do believe this, and I want to give you some hope here. You're doing something that's really dangerous. I mean, it could get you in a lot of trouble. If you're doing that, I believe if you repent, God could keep that from coming out. But if you won't, He has no other choice. You hear me? He has no other choice. There's some great TV evangelists God had to expose. Now, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways. There are actually people that are seeking a touch from God, a deliverance or whatever, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's fun to them. I told you that last night about those people getting in the line and then fall out and somebody catch them. I wonder how many fall if somebody wasn't catching them. But, you know, they fall and get them, run around, get in line again. This is like a ride at Six Flags. This is fun, you know. No, God's not interested in people like that. You hear me? This is serious business. And it calls for humbling ourselves. When's the last time you humbled yourself? Well, God, if you don't humble yourself, God will humble you. That's the word, folks. That's the word. Praise God. I know. He knows how to get me. Has many times standing and tell you for a long time. Praise God. Thank God for it. I thank God for it. And then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land or bring deliverance. Amen. Bring deliverance. Let me read it again. If they'll humble themselves, pray, and seek my face. Now, too much focus on his hands and not his face. Go after God. And whatever it is you need, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Praise God. I have them come to me. I'm sure they come here. I just don't understand why God's not doing that. I just don't understand why. Well, you're already, you know, telling us by what you're saying there. You don't understand why. I tell you, God will tell you why if you'll let Him tell you. Amen. He will. He'll speak to you. Praise God. Now, there's no deliverance without faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Praise God. Not just seeking deliverance, but who? What? Seeking Him. Mark 9:17, then one of the crowd answered and said, Master, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And I'm just going to tell you, you know how the boy had this unclean spirit and what it did to him, throw him in the fire, the water, tried to destroy him. And he brought him to the disciples and they couldn't. And so Jesus came down off the Mount of Transfiguration and they saw him. And verse 23, and Jesus... Well, verse 22, and often he's thrown him both the fire and to the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I'm going to put it on you, Lord. I'm going to throw this thing on you. I'm going to put the responsibility on you, Lord, if you can do anything. Praise God. How many times have we done that? I need to say that some people have asked God to deliver them from some things, and He didn't. And so they have decided that God, it's okay with God. Or God made me this way. That's pure foolishness is what it is. Dangerous foolishness.
That's right.
Jesus said to him, if you can believe, Jesus puts it back on him. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. It's all right to ask God to help your faith. I say it's all right to do that. Praise God. Now, the Lord cast the spirit out and told him to enter him no more. One time we had a camp for several years. And I noticed this. The more the Spirit of the Lord moved, the more the devil moved. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The more the Spirit of the Lord was manifested, the more the devil manifested. I guess to counteract, I don't know what. One night the kids were seeing angels up in the sky or something, you know. It's all getting their focus off of God. And one night there's a girl, and they we're having the altar service and praying for them, and they said, Brother Pitts, you got to come over here, you got to come over here. I went on, this girl's laying on the ground, and she is, I mean, it's scary what she's all drawn up, you know, and kind of growling and all that. And I said, oh my. Well, there was the leader there of a youth, a teen challenge. I'm just going to tell you what it is. I don't know if you're familiar with him. And I thought, man, he'll know what to do. I went and got him, brought him over there. He looked at her, talked, I'm out of here. You know, he is gone. And I said, God. So I'm left there. What to do? And I began to pray with the girl. And finally, the Lord showed me, I told her, I said, you tell it to go. You tell it to go. And she had a hard time getting the words out, but finally she was able to say it, and it went. And so I, oh, praise God. This is okay. Well, they've gone on their midnight hike, you know, out there, and it's out in the country, in the woods, and they wanted to know if she could go. And I said, well, sure, she delivered. It wasn't long. She was up in the middle of the oil road up there, and they came and got, oh, Brother Pinch, you got to come again. And went up there, and same thing again. She's manifesting that. And again, I worked with her and told her to tell it to go. And I learned something, folks. That thing will come back if you'll let it come back. I mean, it'll come back. Jesus said it would, with seven more worse if you let it. I think it was the next day or so, we were in chapel. It's under an open-air tabernacle. And while I'm up there, I don't know what I was ministering something in. I look back and this girl's doing it again. And I told everybody to bow their heads. And without embarrassing or anything, I said, tell it to go. Tell it to go. And she did, and she's okay. When it's time for them to go home, I tried to talk to the pastor about it. And you know what? He didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want to hear what I had to say. He didn't want to mess with it, you know. Oh, God. But Jesus said, enter him no more. And I'll tell you, Jesus has power over demons. He has power over them, praise God. Hallelujah. We look to Him. Thank you, Jesus. We're vessels He uses, but we look to Him. Well, you know how they thought He was dead, but Jesus took Him by the hand, lifted Him up, and He arose. And then Hebrews 3:17. Praise God. I'm going to skip that one. And let me come down to Luke 4:25. But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah. When the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but to none of them was Elijah sent, God sent Elijah, none of them, save to Zarephath, the city of Sidon, to a woman that was a widow. She wasn't even, a Jew. She wasn't even one of Abraham's children. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. You know, the problem's not with the location. It's not the location, but it's their unbelief. Why? I mean, there was a lot of widows, a lot of people that were starving. But God sent Elijah to this widow woman in another country, another nation. You know, it's an awful thing that he couldn't find anybody there at home that would believe. Praise God. I'll tell you what's frustrating is to minister to a group of people and they just, it's not there. Oh, God. How much more God can do when there's a group of people or two or three and gathered together in His name, and He can be there and do great things. Did you come here for deliverance? Well, unless you're willing to believe, you'll go away the same captive you came, the same you were when you came, with the same sins hanging on you, the same sickness in your body. It's believe or die is what it is. Praise God. Why is it necessary to be delivered? Praise God. Well, you remember the woman that was bent over for 18 years? There's a lady in the town where I live that's like that. I don't know how she cannot raise herself up. You say, why don't you go over there and pray for her? Because God didn't tell me to. That's fine. But it hurts to watch her. I mean, she has bent over. I'd show you, but anyway, she has bent over. And she can't look up. You know, it's sad. Well, this is that woman. Now, what did Jesus say? I know the doctors will call it something, but Jesus said the devil did that. He bound her for 18 years. She's a daughter of Abraham, and shouldn't she be loosed? And he loosed her. Praise God. He set her free. The reason that people need to be delivered and set at liberty is the devil has bound them. You're going to have to realize that. Quit blaming it on mama and daddy. Mama didn't change my diaper fast enough. Something. They treated me bad in school. Somebody was mean to me. No, the devil has bound me. You've got to admit that. You've got to confess. The devil has bound me. We're dealing with the devil here. And they cannot set themselves free. And no other human can set them free except by the power of God. Except by the power of God. Now, how did we get here? I say we because we've all been there. We may still be there. There meaning the place of need and deliverance. One day we wake up and we ask ourselves, how did I come to such a place of depravity in my life? A man that was practicing, I want to tell you, I send out this an email 5 days a week. It's some call it devotion, whatever. I call it bread from his table, and so I get a lot of good response. And I was going to tell you my email address, but this is not the right place. And he emails me back, and he wants to talk to me. Long emails. You know what? The scripture says something about in much words, you know, long emails. It all comes down to this. Let me see if I can. I wrote it down here. He calls it a cute little name. And he says, I looked at that image of a woman. Y'all know what that is, don't you? All right, that's what it is. And he calls it that. And I'll tell you what it is. It's sin. And he's depraved. And he needs to be set free. But he wants to talk to me about it all the time. And I found this out. He'll tell me what other people said. Running here and there. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Because he likes it. That's why. You're not ready to be free from that. You know what? We're not ready to be free from anything that our flesh is enjoying. We want to keep it. Until you begin to hate it and despise that thing, you've got it. I want to say that even for sicknesses. Some people. Not all. Some people. You know, the first church I pastored, there was a lady in the church, and they called her the mother of the church. I'll know what I kind of get an idea of what I'm talking about. Revered, honored. I was sitting in her living room one time. And I had a vision. I think it was the first one I ever had. But anyway, I had a vision. And I saw her as an evil queen sitting on her throne. She's sitting in her recliner. And she's always sick, and they waited on her hand and foot. And I said, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Don't you show up. You know, it wasn't the devil. That woman single-handedly closed that church because I corrected her son that needed to be corrected. But they weren't going to correct him. He was a golden calf. I touched the golden calf. You learn some things faster. You don't talk to people about the kids, they'll leave. Because they don't want to hear it because it makes them, you know, they don't want to look like they're doing something wrong. But the boy's going out in the woods with the girl. He's doing some other things. And I went and I talked to him. And I felt real uneasy about going. I should have known better. Because when you feel uneasy about something, you better check it out. Well, I went anyway because I was stupid and didn't know better. And I went down and I talked to him. He seemed like he was receiving it. I no more got back to my house, which was just across the railroad tracks, and I had a phone call from the mother of the church. And she did everything but cuss me. And she was mad. And she emptied that church out. I'm telling you, she had influence I didn't have in that community. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I got to tell you this part. His dad worked hard for the highway department. His dad would come home, work in the garden, mowing everything. And this big old boy, laying on the floor, eating potato chips and drinking a Coke and watching TV. I thought, if I ever have, I didn't have any sons, and if I ever have any, they will mow my yard. They will work around here. I'm not having that. Praise God. Well, that's just extra. And they work. They know how to work. Have you ever been shocked by something you did? At least maybe the first time you did it. Maybe you thought you'd never do such a thing. Or were you disappointed in yourself? But you did it. And then you did it again. And then you did it again and again and again. And now you can't stop doing it. Even though you know in your heart it's wrong. And doing it could send you to hell. But you don't want to think about that. I often wonder how a little white stick called a cigarette can control a person. Or pictures, pornography, can have such a hold. Or a can or a bottle of alcohol. Or drugs. It breaks your heart to see people hooked on drugs. My life is better than... I don't have to do that stuff. My life's good. What do you want to do that for? Or an emotion such as anger or wrath or rage can overcome someone seemingly over nothing. You know, they've got a... What is it called now? A new definition for that. Help me.
Rage.
Well...
It's called anger management.
No, for the disease, and you can get Medicare for it or Medicaid. Bipolar, thank you, bipolar. I never heard of that when I was growing up. It's just somebody need their behind whipped. That's what they need. But now they're bipolar, and they've and what's some of that other stuff? They put you on Ritalin and all. We didn't do that. We didn't have any of that stuff. You just spank that child and straighten them up. You can spank them in love. You know, I believe in that. Praise God. Not like my dad did. My dad would go in a rage and he didn't know when to stop. And if they'd have had CPS, then I'd have been in the foster home. But you know what? I look back and I thought, my dad, I wish you'd have caught me doing some other things and beat that out of me. I wish you had them, but I was pretty good at hiding. That's not good. Praise God. Well, lust for sinful pleasures drives some people. They're driven. They're driven. They cannot stop it. I knew a man. In fact, my wife and I were foster parents for 15 years. And we had these two boys in our home. And their dad, he was molesting his stepdaughter, their stepsister. And so he put locks on the door to keep himself out at night. Until it just drove him to the point that he unlocked the locks. Yep. That's serious, folks. I want to tell you something this morning. Don't play around with that thing. You better look at where it's going to take you. You think, not me? Oh, yes, you. Oh, God, help us. All of us in here. Help us. Except for the grace of God. We'd all be there. In some way. Oh, help us, Lord. At the beginning of any wrong behavior or sin, we can cut it off. Cut it out by crucifying it. I want you to hear this, crucifying it. But we allowed it to continue on in our life. We didn't do what God said, crucify our flesh with affections and lust. We allowed it to grow. And now we can no longer control it. It controls us. There may be some sitting here right now. Are people you know? That, you know, let me say this, nothing's what it looks like. You cannot look at a person and know what they are. I mean, people doing these horrible things that you hear on TV, who would have thought? I mean, you see their picture, well, they look normal to me. They only have 2 eyes, they don't have 15 eyes, they don't have, you know, they look pretty normal to me. But inside, what's inside of us? Oh, God help us. I tell you, this is sin. And you don't have time to pray. And you don't have time for the Word of God. You're playing with fire. Well, I don't need to read the Bible. Oh, really? That's interesting. God thought you need to. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Well, Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lusts. When you could have, you wouldn't. Luke 9:23, and Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's when we refuse to obey these commandments of the Lord and crucify our flesh with its affections and lusts. Then we're going to find that we're given over to them, as Romans chapter 1 says. And now we're controlled by them and we're addicted to them. It's here that a person needs the ministry of deliverance because they cannot help themselves. But crucifying and denying our flesh is too painful. We love our flesh. We pet our flesh. And if our flesh makes the slightest little threat, we give in. You know, it's like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And you're okay. And as the day wears on, you start thinking about it. And by nightfall, there you go. But crucifying and denying our flesh, as I said, is too painful. So we just want someone to give us a super pill of deliverance so our flesh doesn't have to suffer. Wouldn't that be nice? I tell my church this. Yeah, you want to come, but we have prayer line almost every service. I mean, they stand across like that, and I have someone help me pray for them. It's a lady. And I tell them, yeah, everybody wants to get in the prayer line where it doesn't cost you anything. It's easy. You know, take this thing off of me. I don't want to work. I don't want to do anything. I just want somebody to come do it for me. There may be some in here like that this morning. You just want somebody to do it for you. What are you going to do when there's nobody around to do it for you? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not trying to be smart aleck or anything. Y'all know what that word means. I have to realize I'm older than some of these younger generations don't mean. How many of you know what a smart aleck is? Well, good. Praise God. The rest of them, you need to know. Running off at the mouth, I guess. Praise God. Seems easier to get in the prayer line. Have someone pray over you to stop, so you'll stop giving into your lust and affections of your flesh. Maybe they'll go home with you. Live in your house. Every time it comes on you, they'll be there for you. The scriptures aren't telling us to get in a prayer line for deliverance. Now, hear what I'm going to say. So that we don't have to crucify something in our flesh. There is a process, a way that God wants it done. And there's some here, all you need to do is start crucifying something. And until you do, nothing's going to happen to you. I know what I'm talking about. You know, I had something in my life that I dealt with for years. And I'm going to tell you what happened. One night in a dream, folks, in a dream, I was in a meeting. And I think it was a lady, but I'm not sure, laid her hands on me. And in the dream, I felt the deliverance. And my life has been different ever since. In a dream, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I'll take it any way it comes. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, deliverance is not the first thing we needed to have done. The first thing we need to do is obey and crucify our flesh with its affections and lust. Then we won't progress in sin to the place where only deliverance can stop our downward slide. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've been there, I've needed it. And the flesh gets the upper hand. Flesh is mean. It's not your friend. Your flesh is mean. You'll never save it. You hear me? He said, crucify it. Don't bargain with it. The devil, if you'll just leave me alone today. If we had done what we coulda, shoulda done, crucify our flesh with his affections and lust, that's scripture, we wouldn't be needing deliverance. Many have played around with their flesh until the only last roadblock between them and hell is a deliverance by the mercy and the mighty power of God. That's the last roadblock. Praise God. Acts 3:12. So when Peter saw it, he responded to people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though through by our own power and godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his Son, his servant Jesus. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Hallelujah. Whom you see and know, yes, the faith that comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You can, if you're there, you haven't gone too far, you haven't presumed upon the Lord's mercy. You know what I'm talking about. Samson did that. You want your eyes poked out? Some people already have their eyes poked out. Is that where you want to go? You want to grind at the mill and be mocked while they're leading you away in handcuffs in your own TV and trying to hide your head?
when one of the great TV evangelists failed a neighbor there across the road, he didn't know God from a tree. But he's religious. And he came over and told, "Wow, I'd never do that." I didn't say anything to him. It wasn't worth it. But I said, "Yeah, but you're an alcoholic." You know. But he felt justified now. "I'd never do that." Praise God. Maybe you think you'd never do it. Would you stand with me? Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I know God does deliver. I know He does. Oh, praise God. You know, after the horse is out of the pasture, it's too late to shut the gate. But maybe you can catch him. Maybe you can. And maybe you think it's too late, but no, God is able. God is able. I tell you, I'm telling you from experience, God can do it. And God can set you free. And you don't have to be what you've been. And you don't have to live in fear. You know, the wicked flee when no man pursues him. My daughter-in-law, her brother came over the house the other day and he was high on that U2 or something. I think that's what you call it. Is that right? K2. That's it. I don't know. Synthetic. He was there in the house and his girlfriend too, and they were in the house and they were looking out the windows to see if the police were there. This is what I'd like to. We've got just a few minutes here. And if you want, this is the way I want to do it. I appreciate that you got in the line and came up one at a time, but I'd like, if you want prayer, to stand across the front and let me come by and pray with you. Would you do that? Praise God. And the sweet lady on the piano. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Is God here? Is He here? Praise God. Isn't that why we came? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I believe there's power in the name of Jesus. I believe. When we talk about deliverance, we're talking about healing like the woman been over 18 years. We're talking about things in your life that are not right. We're talking about attitudes. Can't forgive someone, whatever it is.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.